This program is brought to you by Babaway Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 205, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives. The spiritual appetizer that we will be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Read with me now, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Church, we need to remember that we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. In Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18, this principle is taught. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Simply because we are flesh, and simply because he told us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is not an excuse to sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul recorded to the church at Corinth, "No temptation has taken man except for that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with every temptation provide a means of escape, that you might be able to bear it." God is faithful. He's provided a means of escape for every temptation. Therefore, we cannot let sin reign in our mortal bodies, because God has provided everything that pertains to life and godliness as well, according to what Peter says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the young gospel preacher Timothy heard from Paul, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work." And so Paul, speaking to the church at Rome, said, it is not an excuse because all have sinned to continue to let sin reign in your mortal body. Notice with me verse 13, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. In other words, don't go out into the world and present your body as something that is used for sinful purposes. This would be going out and drinking. This would be using your mouth to cuss and say things that you aren't supposed to, teach false doctrine. We're not to present ourselves as members or instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but we're to present ourselves to God. Going on in Romans chapter 12, he would tell us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. When we do this, we die. We die to ourselves. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "We have crucified our passion and desires." In verse 14 here in Romans chapter 6 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Sin does not have dominion over us because Christ died. If we go over to Romans chapter 6 and we look at verse 1, Romans chapter 6 and looking at verse 1, I want you to notice something with me. Romans chapter 6 and looking at verses 1 through through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Notice that with me. He who died has been freed from sin. Now, going back over to Romans chapter 6, down later in the chapter, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because we have died to it. Christ offered us a means of escape from sin. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Apostle Paul was told, before he became the Apostle Paul, he was still Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And why waitest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Sin does not have to have any dominion over us because we have died to sin. Notice up in the context of Romans chapter 6 and verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer have dominion or reign over us. We've got to put it away because we have died to it. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" And so we've died to sin. We were baptized into the death of Christ. His blood has washed us clean, and we can rise to walk in newness of life where sin doesn't have any control over our life. Because in reality, it's not us who was raised out of that water. In verse 6 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "Knowing that your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with." The body of sin was done away with when we were baptized with him. And so sin does not have power over us anymore. We should not let it reign in our lives. We should not be going out into the world and just committing sin after sin after sin because grace can abound. That's not the way that we should be living. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, Paul told the church at Rome in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. And so going back now to later in the context in Romans chapter 6 and verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Simply because we're not going to be held accountable for that sin if we repent and we come back to God because the blood of Christ has washed that sin away does not mean that we should just go out and sin because grace will wash it away. That's not how it works. We need to be doing the best that we can to live godly. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 in the ESV, the English Standard Version says, "Do your best to show thyself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we need to be doing our best to show ourselves approved to God, staying as far away from sin as we can, studying his word, getting to know it, loving him by keeping his commandments, John chapter 14 and verse 15. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" And so if we're going out and we're sinning in the world because we think that grace is going to cover it, and so we're just going out and willy-nilly sinning, the Bible says here, "Do you not know that who you lend yourself, or do you not know to who you present yourselves, slaves to obey, that one slave you are?" You're a slave of unrighteousness if that's what you're doing. We need to be a slave of God, a slave of righteousness. In verse 17 it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, at one point you were this way, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." We've obeyed a form of doctrine, which we see up in the earlier part of this chapter in 6:1-7, that form that we obeyed was the gospel, was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We were buried with Christ to be raised to walk in newness of life. And after we had did that, in verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. How were we buried with him? We died on the cross. We were crucified. We died. We were buried, that the body of sin might be done away with. It was done away with in that water when we were buried with him. And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent, let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Those sins were done away when we were crucified, when we were buried in that water and raised back up. Why? So we can be freed from that sin. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we've been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. We cannot allow it to reign in our lives. Or if we do, then we are not letting Christ reign in our lives. Sin is reigning in our lives. We can't serve two masters. We will love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. We cannot sin on one hand and turn around and say, well, God reigns in our life. No, that's not the way that it works. Go back to Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, that one slave you are of whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You're either a sin of death, or you're a slave of death, or you're a slave of righteousness. You can't have it both way. If you're sinning, then you are a slave of unrighteousness. You are a slave of sin. We have to put that away from us. We can't let that reign in our lives. It's reigning over top of us. Cain was told this in Genesis chapter 4. After he had killed his brother and God come to him, he said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at your door and its dominion is for you. But you should rule over it. We need to rule over sin. We need to make sure that we're living in such a way that we're taking the escape that God has presented to us through his word. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is taken man except for that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able, but with every temptation provide a means of escape that you might be able to bear it. If you're not taking that means of escape and you're falling into the trap of sin, then it's reigning over your life. It's deciding how you're going to live. It's deciding. It's making the decisions for you. But we need to rule over it just as God told Cain. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And we rule over it when we take charge and we say, as Jesus did in the garden when he was being tempted by Satan, it is written. When we study his word, and we know how to take the escape out of sin, out of that temptation, and not be pulled into it, then we're ruling over sin in our lives. We're presenting ourselves as righteousness to God, as instruments of righteousness to God, instead of instruments of sin. Notice verse 17 in Romans chapter 6. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You were delivered from sin reigning over your life when you were baptized, when your sins were washed away, when you died and Christ was raised to walk through you, when you were crucified and you were raised to walk in newness of life, then you were delivered from sin. You had your sins washed away. You had your sins forgiven. You were set free, according to verse 18. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We need to allow righteousness to reign over our lives instead of sin. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign over us. If we look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, though, we see a problem that a lot of people in the world have. They love the world. And because of this, sin is going to reign over their life. Sin is going to make the decisions for them. I've got that big car out in the parking lot that's $1,000 a month. I have to go to work in order to be able to pay for it on Sunday. Or I've got this big house, and it's really, really big, and it's really, really expensive, and I've got to pay for it. I've got all these expenses in the world. Isn't that what the young rich ruler was having a problem with? In John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." We cannot let sin reign over us. And if we're looking to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, then sin is going to reign over us. And we're not going to be making the Father happy. Do not love the world, for all that is in the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. I'm sorry. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Church, we need to remember that we need to put God first in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign over our lives. If we're going out into the world and we're sinning, we need to repent and come back to God. We need to allow him to have control over our lives. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.